Translation. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The last verse in the 10th chapter, and right from the 7th chapter through to the 10th chapter, Krishna has been describing himself to Arjuna and to us also, so that we don't need to speculate as to his identity, who he is, how we can perceive him both within our hearts, within nature, and of course in Goloka Vrindavan. But at the end of the whole description, he says, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? You should simply understand that it's a tiny spark of my splendor. This whole cosmos, which we are so enamored by, it's like you go to Las Vegas or Reno or maybe Manhattan, and there are so many glittering lights, and people get bewildered. They get caught up, distracted from the truth of life. So what to speak of the entire cosmos, how wonderful it is. Krishna says, it's a small thing for me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by his entering into all things as the Super Soul. Eko Bahusham. Originally, and when I say originally, it's beyond time. We only use this word as a focal point for us, a reference point, because we can't understand things unless we think of past, present, and future. Time has got past, present, and future in our experience. But there is an absolute time where there is no beginning, middle, or end. How to conceive of that, it's not possible. But we can accept, theoretically, that it is possible. Einstein had something like that in his theory of relativity. He said that if you go faster than the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, not bad, then you can actually perceive that time will slow down. And he gave the example of someone traveling on a train, and they're looking out the window of the train, and they're seeing someone walking on the land beside them. So as the train is moving and the person is moving, their relative perception of each other is totally different. The person on the ground, on the earth, is seeing the train is moving very quickly. The farther away you get away from the train, you see it moving more slowly. That's also very interesting. And the person looking out from the train sees the person is standing still because he's going so fast. So the idea is that you travel so fast, 186,000 miles per second, that's a theory of Einstein's, that you literally, because of light being a very important factor in our perception of things, just like if we turn all the lights out in this room, there's no windows, becomes pitch black, and in a sense our perception of time stops. Just like they put people in the prison, in what they call the isolation cell, or sometimes they call it the hole, you know, there's no windows, no light, anything. And they lose sense of time. They really do lose sense of time. They don't know how long they were in there. And even they go a little stir crazy. They have records how long someone can last in the isolation cell before he. So our perception of Krishna's origin, it has very less value because we're just used to our relative world. And if you take it another step, if you go to other species like the fly who has his whole life in 2 weeks, the fly is born, he grows up, plays with his friends, goes to school, gets married, you know, gets a fly job, landing on stool or something, I don't know, whatever flies do for work. And then he dies all in 2 weeks. Now that sounds incredible. Everything he does in 2 weeks. We've got to have at least 80 years or 70 years or 60 years. So it's all relative. But originally Krishna was one. And he divided himself. He expanded himself for his own pleasure. And his first expansion was Balaram and then Chaturvyuha, Shankarshan Pradyumna Aniruddha, and then Narayan, then the second Chaturvyuha, and then again Narayan or Vishnu, the Garbhodakshai, Karanodakshai, and Shirodakshai Vishnu. So this Shirodakshai Vishnu, the third Vishnu expansion after this Shirodakshai Vishnu is known as Paramatma, or the soul of all souls. An airplane cannot fly in the sky without a pilot. A car cannot move on the street without a driver. A computer cannot do anything without an operator. And the whole cosmos cannot operate. It can't move. Nothing can happen unless there is a driver. And that driver is Krishna. Dantarasta paramanu jayantarastam. He is within everything. Every little atom is within every little atom. And he's within the hearts of all living beings. Now, interestingly enough, everything that comes from God, who is God? He's the source of everything. Janma adi, janmadyasya yataha. Very first verse of the Vedanta Sutra. Or actually second verse. First verse is that we should try to know God. Atato brahma jigyasa. Atato means chaurasi lakhyoni ke baad, after passing through 8,400,000 species of life, we're not meant for, you know, just drinking Coca-Cola and riding on skateboards. We're meant for more than that. We're meant to look around and ask questions about why we're here. What is our duty? So, he's the origin of everything, Janmadi. And he's describing here in this verse, or he's describing to us how we can, within our situation, We're in a difficult situation. Very difficult. We're trapped. We're in a cell where the key's been thrown away. We're locked in here. We're going on a merry-go-round. Go out to, what's that park where they have the merry-go-round? Huh? Coney Island, yeah, Coney Island. Go out to Coney Island. Get on a merry-go-round. We had one in Vancouver, the PNE, Pacific National Exhibition. Never did like the merry-go-round much. It was kind of boring. I like the roller coaster better. But that's what life is. It's up and down, up and down. Upariyada. We're wandering from one body to another, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a human, sometimes as an animal, sometimes as an insect. It's amazing. According to our karma, according to the way our mind floats, you know, just like a little kid in a candy shop or a woman at Macy's at Christmas time or whatever. You know, you go, wow, let's go shopping for this, that, and the other thing. And well, we're getting one body after another, and we're trying to squeeze out some pleasure. Puna punas charita charvananam, chewing the chewed. That's Prabhupada would say. I always used to like the way he would say chewed. He was almost chewing it when he was saying it. Chewing the chewed. That's what we're doing. We're doing the same things. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Over and over again in different bodies. Taking old wine, putting it in a new bottle, and saying new and improved. Wonderful. Same business. Animals are doing. All species of life are doing. So, if we want to get off the merry-go-round, we do have to understand what is behind the curtain. Just like, I don't know if any of you have seen some of these musicians. There's a very famous magician. There was a very famous musician in India. His name was P.C. Sarkar. Anybody ever saw P.C. Sarkar? Huh? You saw it? He was probably the world's most famous magician. And he had so many tricks, including sawing the lady in half, you know, everything, sticking the knives in. But it was just a trick. If you pulled back the curtain, pulled up his sleeves, or, you know, knew what he was doing. There are books. You can get books in the library. Tricks that magicians do. You can learn how to do them yourself. So the whole material world's going on, but it's the dazzling effulgence of Durga Devi under the direction of Krishna to give us what we want until we finally want Him. So He's given us some idea here, and anyone can read this and try to see. Like He says, Rasuham Apsukondaya. Very simple thing. I am the taste of water. Rasoham. I am the taste. Apsukondaya. Of water. Shabdake Polusham Nirshu. I'm the sound in ether. So, subtle energy influences gross energy. Just like by sound, we can break eardrums. We can break glass. An opera singer can reach a very high-pitched note and break a glass. Sound is very, very powerful. And all of the senses, for example, you can touch, or you can taste earth. You taste water, you can touch earth. It's got all touch, taste, sound, smell. And as you get more subtle, the senses become more subtle. You can feel fire. But ether in the sky, sound travels. So Krishna says, I am the sound in ether. I am the ability of all men. And whatever men get any ability to do anything, that ability comes from Krishna, and if he takes it away, they can't do anything. There's so many examples of great athletes who Krishna took the ability away and they couldn't do anything. For one reason or another, they were very great, and then he took away their ability and they couldn't do anything. So he's describing so many things here, and he tells Arjuna there's no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. In other words, to see everything, it's so wonderful, but to see it as distinct from Krishna, the whole idea is to put everything together, to observe the world, to appreciate the world, but finally to appreciate it as Krishna's energy. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering into them as super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each, and all is sustaining them. We don't give very much credit to Krishna, and this is a big mistake. Very big mistake. Just like the Chinese now, they're so proud. They put one little manned rocket into the sky, and, you know, they hailed it as a great achievement in the history of mankind. But this Earth planet is also a Sputnik, or a space shuttle, or a Shoyun, or whatever they call it over there in China. And it doesn't have any problem with bad weather or rockets misfiring or launching troubles. It's been orbiting for such a long time and carrying so many people. Nobody wonders or gives any credit to the person who did that. I was just listening to a lecture of a discussion Srila Prabhupada was having in Tehran, in Iran, 1975, and he was talking about how, actually some devotees were saying how in China, actually it was Tamal Krishna and some others, they were talking to Prabhupada about the Chinese plan and what their goal was, and one of their goals was to surpass nature. Science also has that goal, to surpass nature. So he was explaining how the Chinese had created an irrigation system for their crops so that their crops were, they were getting much better yield. More potatoes, more cauliflower, this, that, the other thing. So their thinking was that now we are surpassing nature. But what is that irrigation? If Krishna doesn't give the water, you can dig as many holes and irrigation tunnels as you want, but it won't grow even one vegetable unless Krishna gives the water. So where is your factory to create the water? And just when I was down in Argentina, and we started to fly to Brazil. So, you know, you go, it was raining. And So we flew up above the clouds, the rain clouds, and there was sunlight, and we were very high, you know, you get up there around 25, 30,000 feet in the air. And it was amazing how Krishna distributes water. He evaporates it from the ocean. That's his factory. He evaporates the water. Now, if you took all that salt water from the ocean and dumped it on your crops, well, you wouldn't get pre-salted vegetables, that's for sure. You wouldn't get anything. You wouldn't get any vegetables because it won't grow with ocean water. So he evaporates distilled water in the clouds. Now, clouds are, they look just like vapor. When you fly through them, you know, it looks like you're just going through some vapor, some steam or something. But actually, clouds are carrying tons and tons of water. They're very, you could say, heavy with water. Now, how does he do that? You can go on a plane and just go right through the clouds, zoom right through them. And yet, little particles of water are suspended in the sky. Like that. And then if you look, when you get up there, there's like rows upon rows for miles of different clouds. What a factory. Amazing assembly line that he's done. It's just incomprehensible. Nobody could even think to do that. And that's just one little thing that Krishna does. With but a spark of his splendor. There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is Asam Urdhva, or Asama, no one is equal, and Urdhva, no one is greater than him. And it is, you know, it's like not paying your taxes by trying to bribe some ministers, or getting some favor from ministers to evade the law or to get some special license or something for your business. It's illegal. And it's also illegal to worship demigods because aham adir hi devanam. Krishna is the origin of all the demigods. They get their power from Krishna independently. They have no ability, just as we have no ability, independent of the Supreme Lord. We may think that we are independent, but it is simply in our mind. It was, my favorite example is Swami Vivekananda, when he went to the World Parliament of Religions. And he told people, why are you worshiping God? Why are you going to churches and mosques and temples to worship? You yourselves are God. Big parliament of religion. Then he got a toothache. And he had to leave the assembly. So God got a toothache and had to leave. That's how independent he was. And it's the same for us. We're just so small. Bahut tuch. Very small. And we're totally dependent upon Krishna. In the Padma Purana it said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist. Sa Pashandi Bhaved Dhruva. Someone who thinks that the holy name of Krishna and Lord Brahman, Lord Shiva on an equal level, or thinks that Raman Shiva equal to Krishna, he's a fool, an atheist. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different scriptures, descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. So this is important that we make this decision. Because this is what we want to do. We want to fix our minds in the worship and service of Krishna. And I know so many devotees who have a hard time fixing their minds on anything. Mind has been out of control for so long. And he's definitely, the mind is rebellious. Arjuna complained, and Arjuna was the one who won the competition when Dronacharya had all his students for target practice, and before each one shot at the target, they had to describe what they saw. And everybody, I saw the tree, I saw the leaves, I saw the target, I saw the eye of the fish, whatever. Only Arjuna said, I just see the eye of the fish, I don't see anything else. He wasn't bewildered at all. He was focused on the bull's eye, on the center of the target. And literally, we have to organize our lives, organize our life, our mind in such a way that we think we connect everything to Krishna. Krishna's mercy, Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's blessing, Krishna's power. Give all the credit to Krishna. Because it's a fact that Krishna deserves all the credit. He's the doer. Only a fool thinks I am the doer. Kartaham iti manyate. Vimudatma is a very foolish person. So without his mind fixed in the worship of Krishna without deviation. So we have to come to this conscious awareness or decision that Ekale Ishwar Krishna Sabritya, demigods, human beings, everyone, they're all subordinate. There's one supreme being. And of course, Srila Prabhupada always encouraged just to keep everything simple. You know? Keep everything simple. If we want to be successful, getting too complicated, I remember when I was young, and I would associate with my friends, and sometimes we would talk about God, and there was no end to the speculation. Everybody had an opinion, and someone would say something, and someone would go on and speculate something else, and it just, you know, was incredible. Like the woman with the husband who she sent to the market to get a chicken, and he speculated that the good quality of chicken is the fat chickens. So then in the market, people were saying, my fat is as clear as oil. So he thought, oil. And he went to the oil market, and they said, my oil is as clear as water. So he took his wife some water. I mean, he missed the boat. He really missed out by his speculation. And that's the same thing that happens to us. Unless we hear from authorities, and unless we're prepared to accept that this is Krishna. Now, where's the authority? It's here in the Bhagavad Gita. We can get help from the preachers of Bhagavad Gita, but it's right here in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Ekang Sena Stipo Jagat, with but a spark of my splendor, Eka Angsena. One tiny part, Anksa. Ekansena Stito Jagat. I create the Jagat, the whole universe. Just a tiny part of my splendor. What is Krishna's real splendor? Chintamani Pakara Sadmasu Kalpa Viksha Lakshavateshu. In the spiritual world, there's his splendor. Where every tree is a desire tree. Where every stone is a touchstone. Where there are Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambhrama Sedhyam. Where he's enjoying the most wonderful pastimes with every single living being. Every single living entity, the flowers, the birds, the grass, the gopis, the gopas, every living being is relishing a personal relationship with Krishna. And it's totally free from any kind of inebriety that we find in relationships in this world. Such a transcendental existence, and we can only hear about it and dream about it. But if we are prepared to pay the price of accepting that Krishna and Krishna's instructions and Krishna's devotees is all we need in our lives, if we can accept that and become focused, the Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. So what does that mean? Concentrate their minds in full devotional service. Well, it means you get some devotional service, first of all. And then you try to perfect that devotional service. You try to get better and better and better throughout your whole life. If the Japanese can do it, that was their policy. Kaizen. Kaizen, Kaizen. Every day, 1% better. That was their motto. And they just about took over the American automobile industry. Little small island, tiny little island. They just about defeated General Motors and Ford Motors. For a while there was a scare because the American car companies had thought that they didn't have to improve because they had the market all sewn up. They had the market all covered. Little Japan came along, giving a big shock. But their secret was always trying to improve. And that's what we have to do. Get some devotional service. It may be sweeping Krishna's temple. It may be distributing books. It may be cooking prasadam. It may be writing stories or poetry or whatever it is. Any kind of service that we get from the devotees and from the spiritual master, if we just try to become expert at that, perfect at that, focused in doing that, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, that is devotional service. That is bhakti. So, how can we attain the highest devotional perfection of the association? Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How can one attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of God? It has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, a great acharya and disciple of succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary in this chapter by saying, Yach chakti leshad suryadya bhavantyat yugratejasa yad ankshena dritam vishwam sakrishna dasame ruchate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Sri Krishna is worshipable. So, our path is pretty clear. Krishna's opulence is wonderful. Krishna's the source of every great thing, everything in the world, and our business is simply to serve Him and to worship Him. Hare Krishna.